We started a brand new series last week entitled Synergy, Better Together. Biblical principles from the Word of God that we can learn and apply to our marriages that will help us live synergistically together as husbands and wives and leading the homes that God has provided to us. And we talked last week about the secret of a synergistic marriage. And we really studied what it was that Christ did for us, and how His example and His love and His sacrifice was the pattern that we are to follow as husbands and wives if we are going to have a synergistic relationship. And then I want to turn our attention this week to the topic of synergistic communication. Communication is so vitally important to the marriage relationship. They say some 60% of divorces cite a major lack of the ability to communicate. And so we have to learn to communicate according to the Word of God synergistically so that we can have a strong marriage. And let's look at a familiar text regarding that subject in James chapter 3 and verse number 2. And ushers, you're doing great. Keep bringing folks in. Right to my left, there's some seats as well. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now James chapter 3 reminds us of the power of what we say. And there's a power in there for good. We're going to talk about that and study some passages this morning. But James particularly is reminding us there's a lot of liability in what you say. There's power for that really to go south in your relationship if you're not guarding your tongue. And you know, communication can be a tricky thing indeed. I heard about the man who was kind of struggling his communication with his wife, and he was the kind of person that just, he didn't really know how to formulate the words or say it graciously. He would just kind of blurt it out, and, you know, there it was. And his wife, and he owned a poodle, and she was so fond of that dog. It was her cherished possession and just something that she loved and cared for very, very much. And so she was going to take a trip overseas, and she began to make arrangements, and then she prepared for that trip, and came the day that she was to leave, and she left, and she made her way to New York, and that was kind of her first leg of the journey. And she got there and settled in, and she called home and was talking with her husband and seeing how he was doing, and let her know about her travel. And then she said, by the way, how is our dog? And he said, the dog is dead. She was devastated. She was trying to collect her thoughts and gather her emotions. And she said, what do you mean the dog is dead? And he said, well, the dog's dead. And she said, honey, you can't do that to me. I don't take information like that well. I need you to be more gracious, and I need you to give it to me in stages. And he said, well, what do you mean in stages? And she said, well, it's like if I got to New York and I called you and asked you about the dog, and you said, well, honey, the dog's on the roof. And then if I got to my next stop and you said, well, we had to take the dog to the vet. In fact, she's in the hospital now. And then if I got to my final destination and asked how the dog was doing, then you could say, unfortunately, the dog did not make it. And the husband said, oh, okay, well, I could try to work on that. And they talked a little while longer. And she said, by the way, how's mother? And he said, she's on the roof. And so sometimes we're not sure how to communicate certain things, and maybe how that should go, or how to present it to our spouse. But God, through His Word, teaches much about communication, how we are to communicate, particularly in the marriage relationship. And I want us to look from the angle this morning of how do we have synergistic communication. How do we have the kind of communication that is encouraging the unity necessary for a strong and thriving marriage? A couple of biblical principles. Number one, we must never corrupt our spouse. Never corrupt your spouse. You say, now, Brother Rule, where do you get that word and what does it mean? Well, notice it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Bible says, don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, the word corrupt in Ephesians 4 means to change from good to bad in our morals, manners, or actions. So it is when we are digressing from God's intent to being in the flesh in our communication. The Bible says, don't let that kind of communication come out of your mouth. And it is incredible the power that we have in what we say. It's incredible the hurt that we can bring to our spouse through the words that we speak. I don't know how many in here have young boys in your home. How many of you have young boys? I flew in last night and my family picked me up, and I couldn't barely get in the car, and it was a little hectic there at LAX, and all of a sudden there was this blue light flashing behind me, and I didn't know if we were getting pulled over or if somebody was an accident or whatever, and it wasn't any of those things. Joseph had bought a brand new sword, and it lights up, and he was back there whooping his sisters and everything, you know, and I mean, he was so excited about this sword, and man, he wanted me to see it. He wanted to exercise it, and he wanted to use it. I mean, he was quite excited about this new toy that he had gotten. And you know, he needed a little bit of training on that. I walked out this morning, and it's Sunday morning, and we're supposed to be, you know, praying and Bible meditating and preparing for church. And I walk out in the hallway, and there's Joseph running up and down the house with his sword and going after Annalene and all this kind of a thing. And I said, Joseph, let's put the sword away, man. Let's get ready for church and get ready, you know, to go to the house of God, you know. And he needed some instruction on how to use that. You know, sometimes we don't understand the power that we have and the negative power that exists with our tongue. And sometimes we need some biblical instruction in how to use it. Now, Bible reminds us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. When you and I speak in the context of our marriage, we are speaking death or life. We're breathing life or we are bringing death. We are building up or we are tearing down. We are encouraging or we are discouraging. We are grace-giving or we are disgracing. That's what we're doing. When we speak in our marriage relationship, it's the difference between death and life. And the Bible says death can be produced through what we say. The Bible tells us so much about our tongue, and I give you a lot of references. In Proverbs 16:27, it says that our tongue can be as a burning fire. It can separate friends. In Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. It exposes secrets. In 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. It can cause deep emotional wounds. In Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer is wounds, and they go down in the innermost parts of the belly. It can work ruin, the Bible says. In Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. It can encourage immorality. Proverbs 7:21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering lip, she forced him. It can destroy a neighbor, Proverbs 11:9. And hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through the knowledge shall the just be delivered. The Bible speaks so much about guard your tongue because it has such incredible power. It even has the power of death. And God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Make sure you're guarding your tongue. So I believe that we need this morning to make the decision we're not going to corrupt our spouse. You say, well, Brother Roy, I don't know if I make that decision or not. It's just kind of who I am. Can I point out a word in that verse? It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Three-letter word, L-E-T, let. You know what that means? It means we have a choice. We choose what we let out of our mouth. And God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't let it happen. Make the choice you're not going to corrupt your spouse. You say, what are you talking about? And I think you could take several principles here. Certainly, it would indicate the way that we speak to our spouse. We should not be yelling at our spouse. Sometimes we feel like our voice isn't being heard and our side is not being taken. So if we can get a little more exaggerated in the tone of level of our voice or in our actions as we speak, that somehow the message will be heard. But you know, in the context of most marriages, the exact opposite is true. When we get real loud or real boisterous, or we start kind of acting a little less than self-controlled, what we're saying is no longer being heard because what we're doing is being seen. And we have to determine we can't behave that way. We shouldn't be yelling at our husband or at our wife. We shouldn't be uttering a curse word at our spouse. We shouldn't be criticizing our spouse. We shouldn't be belittling them in some way. That if I can somehow get them to feel, you know, down, then I've won, or I've built myself up, or we've settled this, or whatever. The Bible says that's not the way you do it at all. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, I just know if I do that, they won't. You know, it's really hard to argue by yourself. If you just determine in your marriage, I'm not going to let corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, it's no fun yelling at somebody who won't yell back. It's no fun cursing at somebody who won't curse you back. You could ask my wife about that after class, but I'm teasing. But you determine it. You say, well, I don't know what they'll do, or I don't know what they'll do either. But you determine, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. We're not going to corrupt. We're not going to do wrong to our spouse. Secondly, then we must edify our spouse. Edify your spouse. Now, the word edify means to build up. And the goal of every person in the marriage context should be to use communication that strengthens and builds up their spouse. We want to edify our spouse. We want to build up our mate. Now notice the qualities of our speech given in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. Proverbs 15:7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. We are told in the Word of God that our loving words can encourage one another. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword in 12:18, but the tongue of the wise is health. And we're being reminded, don't underestimate the power of your tongue. Don't underestimate the power of what you say. Well, I don't say a lot. All the more reason to censor what you say. You don't have room for error. You don't have margin. And we could talk about that because there might need to be more communication in the relationship, but we certainly need to understand there's power in what we say. We don't want to let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. Guard our mouth. Let's not use it for negative, but we do want to edify our spouse. We want to build up our mate. We want to encourage them with our words. We want to determine to have a ministry to our spouse. We have some in here this morning, Brother Daniel and I were sitting together a minute ago, and I said, Rebecca nursery? And he said, yes, she is. And Brother Daniel just came from the live stream room, and they've got ministries. Rebecca, I think, is one of our nursery leaders. She oversees a nursery here, every service. She's responsible. Brother Daniel oversees a service in our live stream. That product that goes out over the internet for the country to see, he's responsible. What a ministry. But God would say more important than live stream and a nursery is their ministry to one another as husband and wife. And we have to determine, my marriage is my ministry. And I'm going to use my words to minister to my spouse, to build up, to encourage, to edify, to help in this way. And by the way, that does take time. I was reading and studying for this lesson. I came across some statistics and it said, the average marriage spends about 30 minutes a week in quality, uninterrupted conversation. Those same people spend an average of over 40 hours a week watching television. Now think of that. Over 40 hours of media consumption, one half hour intimately conversing with spouse. No wonder the homes in America have problems. No wonder the American home is falling apart. And there's got to be, and there is in this room, because I believe that's why you're here, some husbands and wives that see the big picture and say, you know what? We've got to invest in this relationship. We've got to take time. We've got to communicate. And we've got to edify. We've got to build up. We've got to encourage one another. And just think in your mind, when's the last time you encourage your spouse? When's the last time you minister to them? When's the last time they were having a bad day and instead of you making it worse, you made it better? Man, Brother Earl, when they're having a bad day, I just run for the hills. I call home and see if it's safe to come home, you know, or whatever. Minister. Grace. Minister. Edify. Invest in your spouse. So edify your spouse. Thirdly, minister grace to your spouse. Minister grace. Edify in this way. We read in Ephesians 4 that we're to let no corrupt communication proceed of our mouth, but that which is the good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So we want to edify our spouse and build up, and then we want to minister grace. Now, just sit back and listen for a moment regarding grace. Grace is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. I'm going to say that again. Grace is the dimension of divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion. For God to confront us with an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless. I don't know about you, but I know this about me this morning. I don't deserve God's forgiveness. And I certainly don't deserve God's blessing. But you know what I get from God continually? His forgiveness and His blessing. Why? Because grace. That's grace. I don't deserve that, but God gives it because it's grace. And God says, I'm giving you grace, and I want you, through your communication, to minister grace. I want you to give your spouse what you don't think they deserve. I want you to be kind when you don't feel like being kind. I want you to say, my bad, I'm sorry, would you please forgive me when you don't feel like it? And then I want you to say, of course, sweetheart, I forgive you when you don't feel like it. God says, minister grace. God's giving you grace. God's giving you love. God's giving you blessing. God's giving you forgiveness. And God wants us to minister to that through our communication in our marriage. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10:12, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Think of it in your mind. Does your spouse need grace from you? Is there some grace you could minister in your marriage this week? You could change the life of your spouse if you would determine, I'm not going to corrupt my spouse. I'm going to edify them and minister grace. I'm going to really think about what I say and how I say it, and I'm going to work through my communication not to corrupt, not to be bad, not to be negative, but rather to edify, to build up, and to minister grace to them. We have to determine to minister grace and not disgrace. And we could be a part of life change in the life of our spouse if we would be careful about how it is that we speak. So God says, be careful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Don't corrupt, edify, and minister grace. Then fourthly, we see this. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Now, it's not enough just merely to speak the truth. That's part of it. But some people pride themselves in holding nothing back. Speak the truth. Yeah, amen, I do that. And I mean, they're just truth speakers with their spouse and with their family. The truth is coming out. It's unfiltered. It's unvarnished. I mean, it's just, there it is. But the Bible says there's got to be a balance. There's got to be truth in love. Sometimes we want to communicate something to our spouse so badly that we never take the time to think, am I saying it in a way that they want to hear it? Because we're not even thinking about how they want to hear it. Because we just can't wait to say it. And once we say it, it just feels good that it's been said. Never mind that they haven't heard because of the way we said it. And God is saying, take some time in your relationship and in your communication to think through how you're communicating. Speak the truth in love. Yes, truth is needed to be spoken in your relationship, but do it in love. Think about, how does my spouse want to hear this? And then communicate it in that way so that it can be heard. Sometimes we get frustrated in our marriages because we feel like we talk through the same things over and over and over again, and we never get them completely resolved. Can I ask you a question? Are you talking about them in a way that pleases your spouse? Do you know the answer to that question? Have you ever asked your spouse that question? Sweetheart, I feel like we've talked about this before. And I'm just wondering, is the way that we're talking about it bothering you? Is there a way that I could talk about this differently? Is there something that I'm doing that bothers you that maybe I don't even understand? And sometimes you don't need to ask that question because you already know the way you're talking is wrong. But sometimes you do need to ask that question because you need to learn. And the context of marriage, where that person has an intimate view of your life that no other earthly person has, a season of growth can take place. But we want to make sure that we are speaking the truth in love, that there's that balance. So how do we do that? Let me give you some practical thoughts as we close. Letter A, look for the good in your spouse. The first thing is to look honestly for some good quality in your mate. Be truthfully acknowledging or bragging this quality in your mate. You can encourage your spouse with your words. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And behind all the layers over the heart of your spouse, there is a heart that beats, that longs for a word that is spoken that is good. People like to hear good words. People like to be bragged on. People like to hear good things that are happening, and we have to choose to think on those things. Brother Rule, if I had to say something kind to my spouse or something in sincerity that I appreciated about them, I wouldn't know what to say. Then don't say anything until you can find one. You will be so discomforted with the inability to speak that you will find a good thing to talk about. And then talk about that. The Bible says in Philippians, think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtue, praise. Think on these things. We have to have that kind of communication in our marriages because it's powerful. Positive communication is powerful, especially spoken by those who know you best. Somebody on the way out could say, Brother Rule, I appreciated that today or whatever, and that's kind, and I appreciate it. But when Susanna says, man, honey, that lesson, that was awesome. I mean, it's like, whoo. Because when they who know you best encourage you and speak good to you and minister to you, boy, that means something. That's the power you have in your marriage. That's the power you have with your spouse to build them up. It's like a love bank, if you will. And the deposits are compliments, words of praise, and sincere admiration. Withdraws are the criticisms, put downs, and complaints. And the problem in some marriages is that the account is insufficient funds. Much more negative has been drawn out than positive has been invested in. Then the problem is he goes to work and there's vivacious Vivian, the vocal vixen at your husband's workplace. And she says to your husband, my, your wife is lucky to have a husband like you. And he says, that's the nicest thing I've heard in quite a while. And a few days go by and she comes to him and she says, you seem to be so smart and have things figured out. Maybe we could do lunch and I could ask you some questions. His wife hasn't asked him anything in a long time. And deposit after deposit after deposit is made to someone who's empty. And the Bible says in Proverbs 5:3, For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And I'm not advocating a situation where it's okay to be led astray. But what I am saying to every man and woman in this room is, don't leave your spouse vulnerable. Man, that man in church today said I look nice, and I can't remember the last time a husband said that. Don't let that be that way in your relationship. Look for the good. Speak the good. If it's been a while in your marriage since you've looked your spouse in the eye and said a good thing, then, and when I pray in a minute at the end of the lesson, you pray privately and say, God, help me to fix that this week. Help me to find something to genuinely compliment. Honey, thank you for this. Honey, you look beautiful. Honey, thanks for that. That was a blessing. Thank you. Find good. Speak good. Let her be. Frequently praise your spouse. Another way to speak the truth in love, in addition to looking for the good, is to frequently speak of their praise and compliment them. The Bible says in Proverbs 50:23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And God wants us to offer praise, certainly to him, but the principle would apply to our marriages as well. We want to be one who's offering praise. You see, it's not just good enough to notice the good. We must make sure that our spouse lives in appreciation of the fact that we notice. If we got some of you in a room alone, you could articulate to us some awesome stuff about your spouse. But here's the problem. They don't know that's the way you feel. So you've got to look for the good, but then you've got to praise your spouse. You say, well, I'm afraid if I take on that kind of behavior, they're just going to develop a big head. Can I tell you something? It is not your job to make sure that your spouse has humility and at times feels very low. Now, most of us take care of that on our own, all right? We just do stuff that God just reminds us, you know, you need a lot of help. And by the way, God has a way of doing that too. When somebody's beginning to build up some pride and so on, God has a way of letting something happen that just kind of reminds us where we fit in the whole picture. It's not the job, it's not my job to make sure I'm gauging my wife's inner stability. And if I begin to sense a level of greater confidence than I think she should possess, that then I get a few jabs in there to get her back within reason. And then when I think she's low and you know, not really wanting to leave the house, then a few compliments to build her back up. But it's my job to gauge it and to make sure it's just right, and I don't want to go too far either way. That's nonsense. My job is to praise. My job is to speak good. My job is to express gratitude. My job is to build up. My job is to minister grace. It's been said that four compliments are required to offset one criticism and maintain a balance of self-worth in a person. And even if you have to keep a pen and 3x5 card in your pocket, and when you say something negative, say, good night, I got four more to go before I get another one in. Whatever you have to do, just make sure good stuff's being spoken. Amen. Frequently praise your spouse. Lastly, letter C. Practice the sandwich approach. Now, I know some of you are getting ready for lunch, but hang on. One of the best ways to speak the truth in love is to sandwich any truth you may need to speak that could be felt as negative or constructive criticism between slices of praise and admiration. You say, Brother Rule, this is nonsense. I don't have time for this. We got a lot going. When I need to say something, it's going to get said. Okay. But I'm trying to help you have a great marriage, a synergistic relationship. And I'm just telling you, it might go better if you wait until you can go to your spouse and say, sweetheart, I sure appreciate how hard you work. I really do. You provide so well for our family. Now, the other day, you had to leave the house so fast and you ran me over and didn't even stop to say you're sorry. And that hurt my feelings a little bit, and I'd like to resolve that, but I truly am grateful for what you do. Taking the time, the sandwich approach. Praise, truth, admiration, and it goes both ways. God says, Husbands and wives, don't forget, you hold the power of life and death. Don't take it for granted. Don't use it wrongfully. Use it for the edifying of your relationship. Don't corrupt. Edify and build up. Minister grace. Look for the good. Praise one another. And can I challenge you this week? A little bit of homework as we go. Say something good to your spouse this week. Now watch me. Do not, when that happens, say, "Oh, I know why you're saying that, because Brother Gabe told you you had to." If you do that, you deserve what I'm teaching next Sunday, all right? No. But you look for some good and you communicate some good. And this week you might need to say, "Sweetheart, I'm sorry I shouldn't have done that or said that." But you work at the communication being synergistic, building up the relationship that God has given you. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time around your word today. And for the spirit in our class, I love his design. And I'm so thankful for the heartfelt desire in this room. We want to be like you, and we want to be good husbands and wives and stewarding our relationships well. And we truly desire synergy, being better together. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us and teach us as a result of this study in your word to work at speaking synergistically in our communication. And may we follow these simple biblical principles and apply them to the way that we communicate with our spouse this week. And may that edify, build up, and minister grace in our relationship that would make us stronger and more synergistic. Then bring us back next Sunday with a heart ready to learn what you have for us. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.